Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Los perros esquimales están arriba. Y hoy, los patos de Oregón bow down to Washington.
Welcome back to the Dog Pod, your original podcast covering the 13-0 Pac-12 champions into perpetuity and beyond, second-ranked CFP, Sugar Bowl-bound Washington Huskies tackle football team. I'm with Law Dog. I'm with Mitch today. Today, a tip of the cap to the seniors, some end-of-the-season awards. We're going to cover all the Pac-12 bowl previews. But hey, don't fret. We're going to be back after Christmas with a Sugar Bowl preview, talking about that game against Texas. But hey, got to get tip of the cap to the seniors. A lot more to do. Gentlemen, you guys ready? Buckled up? Ready to go?
Yeah, I think those Coug fans wouldn't like to be asked to be known as the Pac-12 champions in perpetuity, BT. But I think we'll have to they'll just have to deal with it.
They're going to have to deal with it. Let's let them figure out their side of it first until we come back. So first of all, let's talk a little bit about these seniors, guys. We saw the seniors walk at the Apple Cup. Pretty cool experience. And I think each one of them, it's a pretty incredible accomplishment to go through the program, graduate, finish, stay the whole route, and be a Husky. And let's go through some of these. So the first one I want to talk about, let's go through the defense first. Antonio Hill. Antonio Hill was a corner, state champion at Bellevue High, played 2020 at Santa Monica College, 39 tackles in 6 games there in the short season. Didn't quite break through the roster at UW, played late against Cal and Tulsa. He registered one single tackle as a Husky, but finishes as a UW graduate in 2022 Pac-12 Academic Honor Roll. So tip of the cap to Antonio Hill, Husky and UW graduate. Now, here we get into some of the starters. Number seven, Dom Hampton, the Hammer, at a Centennial High in Glendale, Arizona, man, part of that great 2018 class. Just go through him. At 2023 honorable mention, all Pac-12. He played 4 games as a freshman, including special teams, player of the game in the Pac-12 championship. Since then, man, he's pretty much played the whole time. I mean, he was the safety of this 2023 team. 13 tackles against Arizona. That's crazy in one game. Remember that pick against Utah? That pretty much iced the game. 93 total tackles this season, a pair of picks, and 5 pass breakups. Total stud, Dom the Hammer Hampton. Great player. Man.
Moving to safety was the best thing that happened to him, and he had a real nice year.
And how about number 20, Asa Turner? Huge get for us in that class. You remember it was between us and Notre Dame. He may come back. There's a chance he can come back. He's played in 4 or fewer games. He could potentially get a medical redshirt. He didn't use up more than 4, so he may come back this year. Out of Carlsbad High School again in that 2019 class, 2020 all Pac-12 honorable mention, 2021 and 2020 Pac-12 Academic Honor Roll. He was this season preseason All-American honorable mention Pac-12 and 3rd team in the PFF. Huge in the Oregon game, man. 7 tackles, same in the ASU game. Had hand injuries. He missed his final 5 games. Huge presence back in the Pac-12 championship. How about that pick against Arizona, the final play? Number 2021, final play of that. Absolute stud as a freshman, man. Started 5 games. Finishes as a Husky with 142 tackles and 6 interceptions, man. Just absolutely. I mean, I think it was one of those ones where injuries really kept him from living up to maybe what he could have been. But nonetheless, his presence is felt. And the games when we haven't had him, ASU and Stanford, you feel it. You really feel the lack of Asa Turner in the back.
Yeah.
How about number 5, Eddie Olafoscio, man. Big Eddie. I mean, Edifuan, walk-on of the 2018 class, originally out of Anchorage, played at Bishop Gorman. How many teams missed on this guy? It's just amazing how many teams missed on him. State champ of the number 1 USA Today National High School champion at Bishop Gorman. Just beyond me how many people missed on him. This is, I don't know if you guys remember this. Remember first play of his Husky career in 2018.
Special
forces
teams.
A fumble. In the Oregon State game on a kickoff that we recovered. Forced another one in that game. 18 tackles in 2020 against Stanford. I mean, incredible in one game. Perennial banquet award winner, man. 12th man 2019, tough Husky in 2020, inspirational award, Iron Husky for work in the weight room 2021. Injured ended that 2021 season and his first games of 2022, but he comes back. And we didn't know if he would, but boy, has he come back. How about that pick 6 against Cal this year? Huge sack and 8 tackles against Oregon. Finishes with 240 total tackles, a pick, 5 forced fumbles, and a pair of fumble recoveries. Look at this, 2023 this year, Butkus Award finalist. Preseason All-American, second team, Athlon PFF, Phil Still. Preseason Pac-12 All-American. Preseason first All-American in Pro Football Focus. 2020 Pac-12 second team, 2019 Pac-12 Academic Honor Roll. Eddie Olafoscio, what a stud. What an absolute status husky.
No, I'm glad you brought up the way he kind of burst onto the scene. I mean, he just was came out of nowhere, made some huge plays in special teams, and then I was like, hey, where's this guy been? We could use a linebacker on the field, and then that was it.
Oh, just absolutely unreal. And hey, pre-med. Freaking pre-med major, man.
It wasn't a given. It wasn't a given he was coming back from injury. So it's pretty amazing to see how his Husky career ends. What a, you know, tip to the cap to that guy.
Oh my gosh. Just absolutely. And if you had a chance to talk to him, just absolute stud. Number 10, Raylan Goforth, man, the USC grad transfer. Remember he started out at St. John Bosco and boy, he got the last laugh, man. A lot of SC guys were like, oh, okay, have fun. Have fun. Wasn't even a starter here. How about winning a Pac-12 championship, and now he's playing in a CFP. Transferred in time for spring last year, which I think really helped him. Key player off the bench, man. Finishes the season with 35 tackles and 4 tackles for loss. Really glad to have him as a Husky. You know, I think just absolutely, he's played such a great role for us, and I think he had the last laugh of this one, man. Raylan Goforth, Husky. Way to go, man.
For sure.
So we get into the edges. Now we've finished the linebackers. Number 46, Sakai Asuo-Afua. Out of Fife High, played a year at Central Washington University, then 2 at College of San Mateo. I'd say, look, he's probably one I slept on the most when I did all my previews. I don't even think we mentioned his name in the summer preview. He's been a much bigger part of the defense of 2023 than I think any of us thought coming into the season. He only had 1 tackle to his name as a Husky coming into this year. This year, 17 tackles, coming in for subbing in for Braylon and ZTF as needed. He's played in every game. Nice work, Sky. Very nice work. Okay, here's one of the big ones, buddy. Number 4, Zion Tupuloa-Fatui, ZTF, out of Pearl City in Hawaii. Played as a freshman a ton and redshirt freshman 2020, his breakout year. First team all Pac-12, second team All-American, nation's leaders in sacks per game, forced fumbles per game. First career start in the season opener versus the Beavs, he has 2 strip sacks. Next week in Arizona, 2 sacks and a forced fumble. Then a week after in Utah, 3 sacks and a forced fumble and returned a fumble 29 yards. I mean, this was the season where he just couldn't be stopped. This season, 28 tackles, 3.5 sacks and a forced fumble. One of the most memorable, tragic, but absolutely heartwarming stories was ZTF learning that he lost his father after the Stanford game. Coach gives him an option. Do you want to play next week or do you not want to play next week? He decides to play against SC. And perhaps the biggest defensive play of the game, forces a strip sack on Caleb Williams deep in SC territory. UW converts for a touchdown, a huge score, 52-42 win that ices the game. ZTF would finish that game with 4 tackles and a sack and a half. I mean, the awards for this guy, 2023 preseason All-Pac-12, All-Pac-12 honorable mention 2022, Pac-12 All-13 by Phil Steele 2022. I mean, the 2020 awards were just unreal, right? All-American honorable mention, Phil Steele. Pac-12 first team. All-American second team by the Athletic in the Walter camp. I mean, ZTF, I mean, my goodness, what a player.
Yeah, he was, in 2020, I thought he was maybe the most impactful D lineman that the Huskies had signed, you know, in decades. And he was really, you know, bursting onto the scene that year. And against a pretty good Utah team, like you mentioned, had a monster game. And then, of course, that Arizona game, he absolutely dominated. He took over. And, you know, since then, it's been a little bit. He hasn't quite gotten back to that form, right? He's not on any honorable mention All-Americans this year. But he's been a huge part of this defense. And obviously, you know, he's just given it all, his all to the Huskies. So hats off to him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the other thing, too, is like, guys, he wasn't a starter last year. That's the crazy part, right? With Jeremiah Martin, you know, he started on the other side opposite Braylon Trice. And, you know, I think in the day of the portal, I think it's pretty rare that you have a guy that sticks it out like that. Like, that's super classy in terms of, like, his perseverance and his growth. And, like, man, just another great Husky, guys. Another absolute great Husky.
And he's gonna be big in the Sugar Bowl and moving forward, a huge part of it. How about number 6, Olumu MJ Ali, man, also out of 5-5, part of that 2018 recruiting class. He actually spent much of his childhood in Australia, where he was a 3 times Golden Gloves champ. Broke out in 2022, played in 11 games, including the Alamo Bowl last year. This year, he started 11 games. Winner of the Husky Excellence Award at team's postseason banquet, 16 tackles and 2 tackles for loss. Coming off the bench, MJ Ali, always good to have him, man. And here, talk about one of the big guys. Number 91, Tulile Tuli Gasanoa. This guy, 6'1", 292 tackle out of powerhouse De La Salle. Huge recruiting get in that 2018 class. Really came alive in 2021. Pac-12 honorable mention. Remembering that win in Arizona, he had 6 tackles, a sack, and a pick. Big man had a pick in 2022. Again, a huge year. Named the Walter Rising Defensive Power Player of the Year at the team's award banquet. This year, he's been critical, man. Boy, when he's been injured off the field, you can feel it. Again, ASU and Stanford games, not having him, you can just absolutely tell. Big game in Utah, getting that half. Remember the safety? Him and Carson were in there on that safety. You know, after the drop ball running in zone, he was huge on that. Two tackles and a huge tackle for loss in the Pac-12 championship. Again, this year, so 2 years in a row, has won that Elwatt race, Elwatt Rising Defensive Player of the Year. Really unreal player. Tulila Gassanoa. You need him healthy all throughout the CFP, and he's a Husky that you just won't soon forget. Great guy.
Yeah, he took a little bit longer to come on than some of the guys like Vita Vea and Gaines and some of the other great guys who have been run stuffers for the Huskies. But honestly, he's at the end of the season here. He's been playing as well as any of those guys, and he's just been a monster. I mean, what is this team going to do without him next season?
Yeah, big.
Yeah, I mean, back to BT, to your point, like, he was the anchor of that defensive line. Right. And when he wasn't in there, you could tell there was a difference.
Completely could feel it, you know. And look, we're lucky that he's at full strength, and we'll get into that when we do our Sugar Bowl preview show, but that he's at full strength and we need him. The only thing I'll say, these guys didn't walk, but I got to give a tip of the cap to the non-seniors that we might not see again. And we'll honor them at the right time, but Braylon Trice, you know, probably won't see him again as a Husky next season. And I think Jabbar Muhammad could potentially go as well. And again, we'll do some time on him, and potentially Void Tanufi. I think he's one of those guys that may decide it's time for him to just, you know, to move on or give his shot at the combine and see what happens. But three Huskies that we'll talk about when it's their due time, even though they didn't walk with the seniors this year. How about that offense, huh?
Yeah, let's go. So I'm going to start with tight end Devin Culp. If you saw it, you know what I'm talking about. Those videos of him in the recruiting days returning kicks.
Yeah.
That's like the 6'5 tight end, right?
Physical specimen.
You know, a huge and just a great comeback story. Plagued by kind of a couple drops early in his career, some huge ones. He had crucial breakout, though, against Cal in 2020 when Kate Otten, got scratched from COVID. And Culp just, you know, finished with some big moments, especially, you know, you mentioned that SC game, BT. He had huge touchdown catch at the end of the first half. He's had a nice end to his UW career, leaves a legacy of a guy who's just a really athletic tight end that's made some huge catches for this team as 13-0. So hats off to Devin Culp. Another one, I'm going to call this the What Might Have Been Award, Mateo Mele. Mm-hmm. Stuck for years in the depth chart a little bit. He got into 31 games in his career, but he only got 3 starts. Then he goes into the senior season, you know, as the presumptive starter at center, and he gets a biceps injury in fall camp and cost him the entire season. And you got to just think he's going to graduate wondering what if, what could have been. Too bad for Mateo Mele, but I mean, a great contributor to this team over the years. I'm going to go with receiver Giles Jackson. So talking about another guy who might be back, but he did walk on senior day. So we're going to give him his due here. He only got into 4 games, I believe, this year. And even if he gets in the bowl games, those won't count against a red shirt. So he could take a red shirt. But he's kind of the double-edged sword of the portal, right? The portal brought him here from Michigan, but it also brought in Jalen Polk, who kind of took most of those snaps. It probably would have gone to Jackson over these last 2 years. But Jackson, totally athletic, twitchy specimen, showed flashes when he had the ball of his hands, especially in the return game.
Sure did.
Played a huge role at Oregon, won this season at Husky Stadium. So, I mean, I hope we do get to see him back, because I think he'll have a huge opportunity next year to get the ball thrown his way. But tipping our cap to him today as a senior. Let's go with running back Richard Newton. And what the hell happened, guys? This guy lightly recruited, right, out of Central California. And Keith Bonifat was kind of known for he'd lock up his running back recruit kind of early in the season. And a lot of times we're like, who are these guys? But then he has kind of a breakout in 2019 after he redshirts, when this team was really searching for an answer at running back after Ahmed had graduated. He runs for 498 yards on 117 attempts and 10 touchdowns in 10 games. He made the Doak Walker Award watch list for 2020. but then he only got into two of those teams' four games in 2020. Then he was banged up, lightly used in 2021. He just never seemed to make it back with this coaching staff. They kind of were just seemingly always looking for somebody else when they had Richard Newton on the depth chart. But, I mean, you know, give it to him. He rushed for 1,000 yards in 6 years in the program. And you know, we'll always kind of have those moments of like, what if? What about Richard Newton? And remember, huge touchdown catch against Cal last season, right? Season 2022, kind of hanging in the balance there. We needed that road win against Cal. He comes in with a huge touchdown catch to kind of turn the game around. So definitely some good moments, but just not enough of them, really. All right.
I'll just say his 10-play highlight reel is
better than anyone's. Yeah.
It's incredible because it's just mowing over like six would-be tacklers for 12 yards on something that could have been two. So it's everyone's kind of wanted to see that for a full season. But you're right. All of a sudden, you think he's going to be the man. Enter Wayne Tualapapa, Cam Davis. It's just, you think he's going to be man. Enter, you know, I mean, it's just enter Dylan Johnson. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's a weird one, too.
10 touchdowns in 10 games.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones, too, where you look at and you're like, how is he a senior? Like, what happened, right? Yeah. Like, it seems like he should be like a junior right now.
I know. It's so true.
All right. So I'm going to get to the here's my big two to end it on. Tight end Jack Westover, the guy who never buys a drink in the city of Seattle ever again, okay?
Oh,
how many? So you mentioned Ale, BT. He and Ale, Westover and Ale, are two of just how many in-state players on scholarship on this team? Who has the answer?
Five. That is
players from in-state on this roster, and Jack Westover is one of them. I mean, guy barely played football in high school. Walks on for Chris Peterson. Gets into a few games technically as an H-back early on, but then he just sticks with it, and now we're watching him as a fifth-year junior last year catch over 30 balls, sixth-year senior this year catching 35 balls, and three touchdowns on three catches against Michigan State in that game in September. And, you know, the stats just don't necessarily tell the story here. It was just clutch, diving, giving everything to convert a third or fourth down this season. I mean, you got to, if I'm at a bar sometime in Seattle, Jack Westover is there. His next one is on me. All right.
Think of all how right. many any bad passes that he would pull off the ground or like go back across his body and just
shoestring
save the
day. Catches or laying out catches, in the middle, laying out in the middle of open field. Right. Yeah. Where it's just like, all stud. I'm doing is just getting my hands on this thing and not dropping it. And he had stud. A lot of clutch plays. All right. Going to finish on the high note, Michael Penix Jr. What can you say about him that has not already been said? Maxwell Award winner for college football's best player. We cannot say Heisman Trophy. He had a close second finish to Jaden Daniels, but leading this team to an undefeated so far season, leading the nation in passing. First team All-American by the Walter Camp Football Foundation, one of the major selectors. And, you know, he's going to go into the record books. He's one of because of that, as a major selector to the All-American, he's the first UW quarterback to be a first team All-American, a major selector, since Bob Schlarett in 1960. He trails Keith Price for third all-time in UW history in passing yards. He's now over 8,800 yards, and he just needs 61 yards in the Sugar Bowl to reach third all-time in just two seasons. Mm-hmm. So, and that's with his Indiana years, you've got 12,000 career passing yards that he's amassed over the years. But his two seasons at UW are first and third for most passing yards in a single season in Husky history. Four of the top five games in passing yards in Husky history are Penix. Amazing. Without him, it's just hard to imagine that this team wins 24 games in the last 2 years and loses just two games. And in one of those, right, one of those losses, he had to come out at crucial moments. So, I mean, he has just been an unforgettable Husky legend. He's going to be remembered forever. The offensive MVP at the team awards, but he gets the Dog Pod Husky Legend Award. guys, and let's end it right there.
I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, you cannot have a conversation about the greatest Husky ever without talking about him. You can't have a conversation about the greatest Husky quarterback without discussing him. And you can make a strong case that on the quarterback side, you know, it's him. I mean, what he's done. I mean,
yeah,
absolutely incredible story.
Think about Corey Dillon. We talk all the talk that Corey Dillon gets about being, he was a Husky for one season. Yeah. Right. and Michael Penix Jr., the 2 years that he was there, and after what he went through at Indiana, which we haven't really talked that much about, but just season ending injuries, 3 years in a row, transfers to reunite with DeBoer. At the time, it was like, hey, is he going to win the job? Yeah, he probably will. But I mean, Sam Heward, and there's other guys, Dylan Morris, you know, has been the starter for a couple of years. Like, hey, who knows? First team All American. That's what you've got, Michael Penix Jr.
Absolutely incredible. I thought it was also so cool to see him show up at the Heisman Award ceremony with all of his team members on the inside of his jacket. Like, how cool is that, guys? Like, that's going to be repeated. Other guys are going to do that. Like, that was just so cool. And, you know, I mean, like, what a great way to elevate the program, to get us on the front. Like, all those Penix Heisman reels that are playing right now on the run-up to the CFP, that's what younger generations, hopefully, of Husky fans are looking at and being like, I want to be like that guy.
You're so right. I mean, that the liner of that jacket was that thing. I first saw that, and I was like, it's not only is it incredible, I'm looking at the names. It wasn't just the starters, man.
It was everybody, right? Yeah.
It was everybody.
Yeah.
It was every single player. I mean, what an absolute class act, and just such a stud. Amazing.
Well, I mean, Jaden Daniels was able to get jacket lining with a bunch of pictures of himself, guys. So nobody's talking about that.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So before we talk about some of the other ones, just real quickly that might not be here, one more that walked. Tip of the cap to number 81, Mason Wheeler, out of Skyview in Vancouver, Washington, part of the 2021 recruiting class, and graduated early. Finishes in 3.5 years with a degree in computer science and electrical engineering. Brian Stapp Special Forces Scout Award MVP in his first year. Scout of the Week twice in 2022 against Scout of the Week this year. Played in the Cal and Michigan State games this year, and finally gets his reception as a Husky in Michigan State and a huge block in the end zone to secure a touchdown against Cal. Mace, quick shout out to you, buddy. So Mason has been, one of my mentees through the Boundless Futures program. I've got to know him pretty well, and just an absolute great guy who, you know, he's one of those mentees that in the end I'll probably be working for someday. I think he's done some not only incredible projects along the way. He created a way to share to create a secure server internally amongst the receivers to share playbooks. It's unreal. Like, he's building his own programs for the team while he's a student. Just an absolute great human being, comes out and helps coach youth football, you know, has coached my son a bit. Mace, shout out to you, buddy. I think he's going to go out and do great things in the tech and business world, but what a Husky, man. The only other ones, you know, we'll talk about this, but we, you know, didn't walk, but we may not see him again. Roma Dunze, Troy Fautanu, Jalen Polk, Dylan Johnson, maybe Nate Kaleppo would be one who might take a sniff. But I think those guys we will talk about in due time if they do decide to, you know, to hang it up.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of the rationale for us for highlighting the seniors is there's a certain reward to that, to giving everything to the program and to leaving it all out there. And like, I literally can't do any more for this program. So I think you want to recognize those guys. That's why they get there to walk on senior day, and they get special recognition from the coaches, because they're giving it everything they've got. And, nothing against guys who are able to go pro, but, we wish them obviously really well. And, you know, Rome, we're going to talk about him in a future, you know, goodbye episode, best Husky receiver, maybe ever, certainly in the last 20 years. So he'll be missed for sure.
We'll do another episode. We'll probably come back if not a little bit during the Sugar Bowl, or maybe after, but talk about some of the transfers. Obviously, Dylan Morris, moving on, but we'll be sticking with the team through the CFP. Took a visit to Marshall. He's showing interest from Western Kentucky, San Jose State, Temple, and I heard potentially some Power Five interest from LSU, TCU, Vandy, Oklahoma State. Have taken a look and made some calls. Vincent Nunley also out. You know, so one more that shouldn't surprise anybody. And, you know, the big name that's coming in is Will Rogers from Mississippi State, Vanderbilt linebacker Ethan Barr. There's a few others that are coming in, and we're a bunch in the mix, but we'll do a full show on that. But again, you know, it gets tip of the cap also to Demo, man. Absolutely no, yeah. You know, no grudges whatsoever that he stuck through this team when we were really, really down low. And what a total stud that, like, I hate to say this, but difference between two programs where he goes, yeah, I'm available for transfer, but I'm with my team through the end of the CFP. Right?
Yeah. That's pretty rare, guys.
It's pretty rare.
Like, yeah, because that Texas doesn't happen done. That much, right?
The Texas backup is done. Like, they don't have a backup because he's.
I was going to say, I know one team that would like to pick his brain, and that's Texas, right?
Yeah, that's right.
they could be contacting him right now if he's in the portal. So, I mean, that's kind of how weird these rules are and everything. But I think, you know, he's proven that he's a loyal Husky and a guy who wants to get into coaching and who's had every opportunity. You know, to learn under some great guys like DeBoer and Grubb, but also, you know, got to start Division I in the Pac-12 for 2 years and doesn't want to just go, you know, go out as a backup. So you understand that.
Yeah, good for him, man. He knows his worth. You know, he's going to go and take a shot, right? But at the same time, I think going back to the ZTF conversation, this is a good pulse on the culture of your program when you have those types of things happening, right? A coaching staff that's supportive of the players to say, you know what, great guy, we want you to go and do well. And at this, and the player at the same time too, not just saying, hey, I'm a dog for life, I'm actually want to stick around and want to make sure the right thing happens for this team and the CFP. And then at the same time, you know, getting his opportunity, hopefully to get an opportunity to go and play and start, right? Because he's got one more year.
You don't want to be that guy that's, you know, 35 years old and successful in the business world, but going, God, what could have been? What if I would have been a starter at San Jose State and broke out? Because as a quarterback, you can do that. I mean, a lot of times you can, but you can go do that.
Yeah.
You know, so absolutely good for him. And I think, you know, he expressed a lot of interest in coaching. That's probably where he'll end up. Should we talk about the Pac-12 and the bowl games? This is our last year. We're going to be talking about it. Should we go through them?
RIP Pac-12.
All right, here we go. Couple in the books already. UCLA 35, Boise State 22. Home game for the Bruins in the LA Bowl at SoFi. Boy, they probably should have started Garbers the whole game, man. Once he came in, rallied the Bruins with a big.
You mean all quarter. Season?
Yeah. I mean, really, all season. You're right. He should have been. But, like, even when I turned the game, I was like, wait, why isn't Garbers in there? And as soon as they pull him in, you know, he has his 21-point third quarter, and they're off to the races. You know, Boise State with, you know, it's kind of wild, that Mountain West champ, but with two losses, the big one, of course, against us, and then losing here to UCLA. So 0-2 against the Pack. And, you know, there's been years where Boise State has gone 3-1, 3-0 against the Pack.
I had in my notes, if we were going to record before this game, it would be so Chip Kelly to nearly get fired after losing to ASU and then beating USC, beating Cal, and then win this stupid LA Bowl. And he's now 8-5. And they're like, what are we going to do?
What do we
now? It's so Chip Kelly. I should say for the update for the picks, we all took Boise State in this game. But I didn't listen to my own logic, guys.
Yeah, that's kind of a classic Chip Kelly move there. I totally agree, Law Dog. Didn't help Boise State that their started quarterback went into the portal, you know, right before the game as well. So, but hey, you know, good tips of the cap to the Bruins who pulled it off, right? And then I don't know if you guys saw, but I guess Chip Kelly was, you know, again advocating for a complete overhaul of college football after the game. And, you know, going to, you know, a relegation leagues, you know, super league kind of thing. Like, he's not getting off that podium, guys. Like, he's sticking to it.
So funny. Poor reporter from the LA Times is like, I actually just was asking you about that third down call in the second quarter. It just goes off on whatever he wants to talk about. One other one in the book, the Independence Bowl, Texas Tech 34, Cal 14. Cal with another losing season, 6-7. Red Raiders quarterback Baron Morton torched the Bears secondary, 256 yards and 3 first half touchdowns. Cal goes down. I'm sure if you're Texas Tech, you're thinking, fucking Pac-12 who, man? We took Oregon to the wire. Probably should have beat him. Mop up with Cal. I mean, my goodness.
I mean, well, Cal,
and the way that game started,
the eighth best team in the conference, they were the last like team into the bowl, like, so let's not, you know, be too proud of ourselves, Texas Tech.
The way that game started was crazy, right? Like, Cal gets the turnover right away, scores within like 14 seconds or something like that. It's like, oh, it's going to be all Golden Bears. Not so fast, my friend.
Yeah, they just find a way to shoot themselves in the foot. My goodness, Cal. Hey, before I get into the rest of the picks for the Pac-12 bowl season, Law Dog, do you want to update us on where we are Dog Pod host scoring?
Oh, man. I was really hoping to have some better news to share. I mentioned, we all end up on Boise. BT, you got to make all your picks first here going down the stretch in these last six games.
I like that.
BT's the only one who takes Texas Tech to cover the 3.5. So he picks up another one. He has a lead over me by 4 games, and he's leading Mitch by 8. Mitch, it's going to take a real miracle for you to catch him now. Huskies are going to have to literally advance to the national championship, and we'll have to bet on like the Senior Bowl or something.
What I hear is insurmountable lead, but
I can still catch you when I plan on it.
Let's see these. Here we go. All right. So number 15, Louisville at 7-5 USC Wednesday, the 27th, 5 p.m. on Fox in the Holiday Bowl. Louisville, the 7.5-point favorite in this one. This is tough. I mean, there's a lot of like, will Caleb Williams play or will he not play? What are the other SC guys are going to lay out in this one? Give me the Cardinal on this one to cover that 7.5. I see him winning by 9 or 10.
Yeah. I mean, I have not gotten USC. I haven't picked them to win, and they've actually covered at all this season. So I don't really want to do this, but I'm just going to take USC and hope that they want to get the band together for one more of these and cover a massive spread here in Southern California.
I mean, this is getting a little bit gnarly down there for them, guys. Like, their number one overall quarterback recruit in the nation just decided to go into the portal. That just got announced a little bit earlier today. Jen Cohen's probably like, well, maybe I should have stayed up in Seattle. That might have been a little bit smoother. Gosh, I think I'm going to go Louisville here, right? Like, it's going to take a Christmas miracle. I could just go against BT, but, you know, I still have a little bit of pride left to pick a couple of these winners. So I'm going to go Louisville as well. I think they're done down there. That's like a dead dog laying belly up right now.
Well, and we don't talk a lot of ACC football here, but Jeff Brohm did a really nice job at Purdue, I thought. I mean, it's a tough place to win, and he had a good teams there. Goes back to his alma mater at Louisville and has them on the verge of making the playoff if they win that Florida State game. I mean, they were right there. So he's done an excellent job there, and they're definitely formidable. I do not think SC will win or cover in this game, but I'm merely picking them so I can try to catch BT.
So, hey, one last comment here. I mean, I do think it's interesting where you have some of these programs that are pretty star-studded. They're all about five-star recruits, top players in the nation, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, you get them in these situations sometimes where real adversity strikes. They're in a crappy bowl game like they are in this particular case. Like, come on, guys. Are they going to show up? I don't think so.
Yeah, it's like, don't want to be there. Yeah, we're too good for this. We were number 5. You know, ranked at one point, and they lose this game and they finish the season 7-6.
Those teams in the ACC and the SEC, their record on the West Coast is well documented, and it's not good.
It's not good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the other side of that argument. I think you're right. So how about this next one now? Number 14, Arizona at number 12, Oklahoma State. Thursday, December 28th in the Alamo Bowl. Sun Devils, the 3-point favorite in this one. I really am excited about watching this one. We'll be up in the Kittitas County area with the family and excited about just checking this thing out. And this one, boy, give me Fifita all day. I just see this as like, watching how Arizona finished the season and then watching the Oklahoma State Big 12 championship game. And I think two programs kind of going in different directions. I really like the way Arizona's going. I think they match up really well and can put enough points on the board and hold the ball against Oklahoma State. Just 3 points. I like Arizona to cover that.
Yeah, I love Arizona as well. And I love, this is like one of our last Pac-12 bowl seasons, and BT refers to the Arizona Wildcats as their hated rivals, the Sun Devils, on the show.
What did I call them?
Way to rile them up, BT. I love it.
I think you just called Oklahoma State, too, BT. I think you checked out. I think you're checked out. I think your head's not in the game. I'm going to take Oklahoma in this one. And give me the 3.5.
What's wrong with me? Oh, Jesus. Okay.
This is great.
So, how about huge apologies here? Just all up to Bear Down Rich and the rest of Wildcat Nation. That's my bad. Oklahoma State, don't really give a shit if I exchange you out, but Arizona, that's my bad.
Hey, Bear Down Rich, he doesn't mean it. He is laughing right now and smiling. His fingers are crossed behind his back. Awesome. He just referred to you as a scum devil.
Oh, how dare you. God, that really is a prick move. After all the just vitriol, whenever they call us Wazoo, you know, they call Washington State Washington on ESPN. Oh, that's great. Good stuff. All right, Law Dog, your pick on there. How are you thinking?
I'm taking Oklahoma.
Okay. Yeah, I guess you have to. All right. Next one. This one will be fun. And so we will be watching this. I'll be watching this one. Number 19, Oregon State, and number 16, Notre Dame, Friday the 29th, 11 a.m. on CBS. It's the Sun Bowl. Irish, the 6.5-point favorite. Irish have had their way with the Pac-12 this year. If you look at those Stanford games, look at the SC game. This one, I don't know. Week 10, week 9 of this, I really like the way Oregon State looked, but, you know, the way I think the program has fallen apart a little bit. Jonathan Smith on the way out. I think they're quite a mess. And so give me this one, man. I like Notre Dame. I'll take the Irish to cover that 6.5 touchdown winner bet or more.
Ooh, yikes. Last time these two got together for a bowl game, Oregon State waxed them in the Fiesta Bowl. And what was that, 2001, 2000, something like that? And yeah, I mean, I think with the coach on the way out, you got Childs on the way out. Oregon State is decimated. I really want no part of them. So I'm even gonna take the Irish here.
I think I'll go the other way just to make it interesting, right? Like, hey, let's get behind the pack, guys. Back to pack. And also, again, this could be one of those games, right? It's a Sun Bowl. Tell me what five-star Notre Dame recruit is going to be excited to play in the Sun Bowl. And don't forget, they just lost their starting quarterback too, right? Yep. Who transferred out. So it's not like it's easy street right now and things are honky-dory up in South Bend.
Oh, El Paso is going to be like 48 degrees and it's just going to suck.
They're going to be like, are we playing in the Alamo right now? What's going on?
That's awesome. Dude, Mitch always picks Oregon State. Like, I always get suckered into picking UCLA every freaking time, and it just kills me.
I love it. I'm a Beaver believer. I love it.
one more of these before we get into the New Year's Six Bowl. Saturday, December 23rd, coming up this Saturday, 4:30 on ABC. How about 8-4 Utah at number 7, excuse me, Northwestern 7-5 in the Las Vegas Bowl? Look, you guys get to go play back there in Vegas. I mean, this will be like a home game for Utah because that is a short drive, and they'll all travel for it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the question on this one is, oh, sorry, BT, I believe your pick has to go first on this.
Yeah, part of the series, I want to hear so your
go
pick.
Go for it.
I just talked about it. I get suckered into picking them every time, and I'll get suckered into picking them again. 6.5, give me Utah by at least a touchdown. Utah to take this one and cover.
Okay, so that's interesting to me, and I'll be curious to hear your take, Law Dog. Who's going to play for Utah?
Oh, like, I know.
They're decimated, right? Like, didn't Bryson Barnes in their quarterback? He transferred, right? So, like, who's going to play? That's my concern with this, BT. If this was a Utah team from the first half of the season, no question, right? But I think it's just a completely – there's only so much that Whittingham can do, right? And so I'm going to get on Northwestern on this one.
Yeah, these teams got together in the Holiday Bowl 2018 after we beat Utah in the Pac-12 championship game, the pillow fight, the 10-3 pillow fight, and Northwestern waxed them 31-20. I'm sticking with the Cats. Give me the Cats.
You guys are, I'm telling you, this is a bad call. You're forgetting, outside of a few occasions like the one that you just mentioned there, Law Dog, Utah wins bowl games. They win bowl games.
Not with a fourth-string quarterback, BT.
Yeah, maybe not. And you know, what do they need a quarterback for? They have defense.
They've been decimated. They've just been decimated. That's the thing, right? It's not the usual Utah team. It's not usual circumstances. And I don't know, maybe Whittingham can ride his Harley through the center of that Northwestern D line or something.
He's going to have to just do a bunch of push-ups or something. Here's one I think we'll all be watching, and we know who we're going to be cheering for. New Year's Day bowl game. I will be watching this one in New Orleans. Number 23, 13-0, Liberty, and number 8, 11-2, Oregon. So there's a couple things that's interesting about that. I was like, Liberty 13-0, Huskies 13-0, Oregon 11-2, two losses to the same team, both UW. Interesting. 10 a.m. New Year's Day, January 1st in the Fiesta Bowl. Ducks, the 17.5 point favorite against the online college. Give me Liberty or give me death.
Too many points.
Liberty. All day.
I cannot believe you. I can't put enough money on the Oregon to cover this.
I 100% agree. Liberty has not played anyone. They are going to get it totally exposed. They're going to show what a sham this CFP committee is in picking some of these bowls. And this is just ridiculous.
Nix is insisting that he's going to play. Nix is going to insist that he's playing. They are going to put up 60 points in this game, BT. Let's get some side action going on this.
Liberty will put up 55, and I'm going to cover. Liberty Bibberty, trust me. If I knew what their mascot was or what colors they were, I would wear it to watch this game on TV.
Only with a 4-game lead would you make a pick like this. All right.
I'm playing with house money, bud.
Yeah.
So next show when we come back, we'll probably talk at least through the rest of the CFP. And we're also going to talk through the Sugar Bowl. But before we go, some end of the season awards. We talked about a few that some of the seniors got, but some of the big end of season awards, Law Dog, do you want to kind of go through those? Cause you know, I think there's some that are, I mean, pretty amazing, deserve some praise, but also, you know, some controversy as well that got people a little riled up.
Yeah. Well, I'll hear what your guys' thoughts are. First, I mean, in the order these things came out, it was kind of a little bit of a, you know, it was kind of a drama, right? The first thing we got was the all-conference, all Pac-12 team. And to me, I was looking through that team and just thinking, man, Washington seems pretty underrepresented. And even, you know, just 8 players on the first and second team. And Oregon, the Ducks have 8 players on the first and second team, including Brandon Dorlus, who, after talking all that shit about how he's going to take out Penix, literally is not even in the box score from the Pac-12 championship game. So
amazing.
Brandon Dorlus, congratulations on being first team all conference, but literally fuck you. Okay. Cause that's insane how much we dominated them this year. All right.
Family show.
Enjoy getting waxed by an insurance company in your bowl game.
Yeah. Something tells me Dorlus is going to be watching that one from, you know, from a Division Street Airbnb, but anyway, all right. Then it comes out that Bo Nix is Offensive Player of the Year. I think to me, that was the biggest slap in the face. I mean, I get that. But then when I started thinking about it, I was thinking, you know, it's not that crazy when you think about the common opponents that the Huskies and the Ducks had this season and how Nix just absolutely carved up, for example, Stanford and ASU and, you know, and some of the other common opponents that the Huskies just, you know, didn't play as well against, even though they won all those games. You know, you could see how a coach would say, well, you know, we thought Nix was the better guy. So I think it's kind of a joke that he wins it. And here's Penix is first team All-American, which we'll get to in a second, the Walter Camp. And then he's the Maxwell Award winner. I think it's kind of dumb, but you know, whatever. Give Bo Nix his props. I guess he can be Offensive Player of the Year in the Pac-12 in the last year. And then, you know, I also want to mention Freshman of the Year, Noah Fifita. I think no one's really surprised by that, but I was actually Parker Brailsford. The only freshman on the first or he was on the second team defense, the only freshman to make first or second team on offense or defense. The USC returner was also first team. He was first team as a returner, but Brailsford, the only one, an honorable mention for freshman of the year. I think that's pretty impressive for a center. So I want to give Parker Brailsford his props. And at least we've got him for 2 more years. He was definitely the breakout player this Husky team this season. And then also want to mention Coach of the Year. he had to share it last year, but then he coming out Sporting News National Coach of the Year, Home Depot National Coach of the Year. He's now a finalist for the Bear Bryant Award. That's kind of the most, that's the Heisman Trophy of the coaches awards, right? Kalen DeBoer. I think you got to just tip your cap as to what he's been able to do. And I don't think of this as just a 1 year award. He has been unbelievable these last 2 years. And I think if you're the Huskies, you've got to be doing everything you can right now to lock him up. And I hope we are talking in our next podcast about a contract extension for him, because that's what really needs to happen.
Yeah. That's what I'm hearing. $9.5 million, 5 years, and don't know the buyout. Like,
I love it. It's
going to be big. It's going to be,
can I put my kids' 529s toward it? Let's do it. Let's lock it up. Yes. Let's make it happen, right?
Mitch is ready to send his kids to community college for 5 more years of DeBoer. I love it.
Hey, they can go for free on the state, Law Dog. It's fine. We'll figure it out. Hey, guys, like, he hasn't lost at home. Is that true? That's true, right? He has not lost a game in Husky Stadium. He has two losses as our head coach. If you look at his all-up coaching career record, he has like 10 losses. It is unbelievable. And the coolest part about it was, I don't know if you guys saw the Twitter video when Grubb, I think it was Grubb, that was giving him a hard time telling about how he had won.
Part of Schmidt.
Oh, was it Schmidt that was giving him the hard time about winning the Home Depot Coach of the Year award?
Yeah.
These guys, don't they just like genuinely seem like down to earth dudes? Like, they seem like it could be a group of us yucking it up, messing with each other. And that's the thing. Like, I love this culture that they've instilled, and like, they're just real dudes. And it's just amazing to see them do what they're doing.
It's almost like I think he's so coveted, and he will be if he continues on this trajectory, where this contract, I'm almost not as worried about what the dollar looks like. I just want the buyout to be a freaking space shuttle.
Something
and
five
islands in the Caribbean. Yeah. I mean, it's because if he continues on this path, he's not going to be 13-0 every season. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not going to be 10-2 like last year every season, but
maybe.
Because you're right of like, not every year you're gonna have Dylan Johnson, the offensive line gel the way we thought it did, Penix and three NFL wide receivers, and a defense who does enough and gels at the right time. Like, you're just not gonna have all those things. But I'll tell you what, like, whatever we do have, I put my faith in Kalen DeBoer to get the most out of it. Wow.
Well, you know what? I think that he's doing something right, and he's hitting the portal hard for proven guys. And it's a little bit of a dicey strategy, because you got to reload it every year.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to keep that momentum every year. And so far so good. And even in the portal, the early kind of returns on the portal in the last couple of weeks have been pretty good. So I think that's going to be their strategy. They're not focused on high school guys. They're focused on guys they can, you know, that are proven commodities. And I'm not going to say that there's no chance that he's not going to win 10 games. I mean, he is a proven winner. He's done it year after year. So he's been a head coach. So I like, as long as Washington has him on the sideline, I'm just going to feel great about us in every game, man.
I 100% agree, Law Dog. I feel like we finally have a coach and a coaching staff that makes adjustments like in the second half that are fantastic. Like, how long has it been since we've had that, right, guys? And like, been pretty frustrated in the past on those kinds of things. And plus 1,000 on the portal, I think he has found a way to use that as a tool. Cause like, let's be real. Like this, like, we're not going to keep the JT Tulumalaus. They're not going to stay home. They're going to go to Ohio State. They're going to go to some of these other schools. But guess what? The door's always open if you want to come back. And he's finding a way to match what our strength has been, is developing guys that are 3-star, 4-star guys, developing them. And then ideally, if you could get a Penix, if you can get somebody like that to then take it over the top, I mean, realistically, at our school, it feels like that's a winning formula. Like, that's kind of what it's going to look like. And it'll be fun to see him hopefully play this out for the next 3-4 years. And BT, to your point, right? Like, you know, this is like a once in a 30-year opportunity going to potentially play for the national title. But maybe it's not.
Well, in the
which would be amazing.
in the four team system, you know, I think in the future with the 12 team, you know, you're gonna be in there a lot more often. But I do think, I don't think we're gonna get the JTTs and the Emekas until, and if this starts happening, you know, every year, every other year, and you get to that point. Right now, I still think that those guys, you know, those guys are getting.
And we just had Jason Brown. Jason Brown at O'Day, right? Committed to what, ASU or some dumb thing like that? I mean, so, you're right. We're just not recruiting at that level of high school players right now. And maybe we won't.
That has to come around.
Yeah, maybe we won't under DeBoer. But, I mean, if they're bringing 12, 15 high school players every year. And another thing we haven't really talked about is, I mean, he's still – there's Chris Peterson guys on this roster, right?
There's that great
article in The Athletic. I don't know if you saw it this week by Bruce Feldman talking about the Peterson 2019 recruiting class, his last class, how many great players were in there, including guys like Latu who are gone.
Yeah, we just talked about a bunch of them in our senior.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, we have kind of yet to see how he's going to do with his own, with this roster fully his own. So I think that's kind of the one variable that's still out there.
Yeah, I love it, though. I don't hear any Huskies saying, wait till he gets his own guys, because we haven't had to wait. Yeah. It's been here. It's been here already with Pete and mostly Lake guys. Like, that's who he's been winning with, which is just.
Yeah. Unreal. I mean, Rome and McMillan are Lake guys.
These are Lake guys. It's wild, wild. Well, hey, so we're going to be back after Christmas. We're going to be talking a lot about the Sun Bowl. We got some Wayback Machine with Professor Law Dog we got to get into. Probably talk about some of the New Year's Six Bowls. And then we will talk about the transfer portal at some time. And then at some point, of course, we're going to talk about the Eric Schmitz leaving for San Diego State. And there's going to be a handful of other coaches. There's a couple that I know about that are going to be moving on. I think we're going to have probably 3-4, maybe more, maybe up to 5 coaches all up somewhere. We're going to be moving on a new spot to come in. And some of that's going to be voluntary and some of it's going to be decision from the coaching staff. But I think we're going to have some changes to talk about. But for now, next time we come back, we're going to be talking Sugar Bowl and Texas in the CFP. I'll be down there. The one member I think of the podcast is going to be down there in person. I'm really excited to fly on the most expensive, horrible flights that I've ever purchased in my life to get down to New Orleans. If I refresh the Alaska Airlines button one more time, I'm going to break that button. Trying to get these, come on, like a few more flights for Seattle, but we'll be down there talking about it. So we'll be back after Christmas. Last thing, tip of the cap to the seniors again. You guys are all dogs. Can I get a go Huskies?
Woof.
Go Huskies.
Go dogs.
Woof. Let's do it.
Nope. Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Los perros esquimales están arriba. Y hoy, los patos de Oregón bow down to Washington.